What's up, Abundant Babe? I'm so glad you found your way here. You're in the right place for the highest of vibes, the silliest of laughs, and the best of the bunch. All things related to spiritual entrepreneurship and creating holistic success. This is your host, Viola Hug, a coach for women who desire to have it all, alignment, wealth, impact, and joy. Come find me at Viola Hug on Instagram, join my free Abundant Babes group on Facebook, or grab a copy of my best-selling book, You Are an Abundant Babe, on Amazon. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome back to the Abundant Babes podcast. This is Viola Hug, your host, and I'm excited to be here today with a guest who is a holistic transformational mentor, woman circle holder, author, and founder of Integral Woman. Welcome, Sierra Melker.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy. So, you know, I think you know the drill of the podcast. That's a little bit of a formal intro, but we want to know, like, who are you? Let's get personal.
Isn't that always the question, though? Who are you?
Like, seriously, what's your story?
Well, and maybe those are even different questions.
Very true.
I can tell you my story, and then maybe who I am will unfold as we go.
Sounds amazing.
So my story, let's go backwards from this moment. So I am a single parent. I live in Colombia, South America. Mm-hmm. I've lived here for 10 years. Before this expression of my life, I was an international high school teacher. So I lived in China. I worked in various places around the United States, and I taught in Colombia as well. So really sort of been all of around the world a bit, looking to answer your first question, which is like, who am I?
Yeah.
I was like, who am I in California? And who am I in China? And who am I in South America? Mm-hmm. And actually with every place and with every sort of career track, I found a little bit more of the answer to that question by pursuing my interests and my passions and making mistakes and exploring possibilities. It's sort of like feeling around in the dark, being like, am I over here? Am I over here? And little by little, I don't want to say that like I'm done and I've figured it out, because the more that I learn, the more that I know that that's not true. But I am as much of me today as I can be today, and the next chapter will be different. But I've really like settled into the process and the not knowing and not really even needing to know what's the next thing. Mm-hmm. Right? I think we spend so much time chasing the next that we don't even visit the this, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get that.
So that's like a scoop of my story. That's not the whole story. We could probably speak for hours, but that's a general paintbrush stroke of who I am today.
Awesome. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about like what you do and how you ended up doing it.
That's a good question. So I went from high school teaching to running a yoga studio, and I was pregnant at the time that I opened a yoga studio. I don't really recommend that, by the way. I sort of hadn't thought through the logistics of starting a business and becoming a parent all at the same time, especially like a business where you have to show up and stretch. I ran a yoga studio for the first couple of years of my daughter's life, but there had been a thread through my teaching practice and my yoga studio that I was really ready to explore. And this is like, I had been in education and I had been in the spiritual and physical world of yoga, but there was still some component that I really felt was missing, and it was missing in my own life as much as it was missing in my community.
Right.
And that's when I got into, it was really a personal, like, I need this, I need a woman's circle. I need a space that is more than just great women getting together, having great conversations. Cause I had that already. I had incredible friends. And we talked about lots of stuff, but I needed to like drop it down into a more intentional or deeper space. And that had been a craving I had for years. And so I shifted out of the yoga studio and studied coaching and mentoring and formed a women's circle. But now I've been holding a women's circle weekly for 4 years. I do them in person and I do them online.
Wow.
And it's like, if I don't have it, it's almost, if, you know, there's like 3 weeks over the new year that we don't get together, I can tangibly feel it like in my body and in my soul, because the space that I have created is really, it's a space for each woman to really reconnect with herself, because that's what I felt was missing. I was like, yeah, I'm hanging out, but I'm not truly tapping into myself and answering your question, like, who am I? And all the incendiary questions that go with it. Like, what do I want? And where am I going? And what's my zone of genius? And you know, where am I drawn? And because as women, we identify so much with our roles and our relationships to others, that so much of our attention is given to others, that it's easy to forget ourself in that process. And our identity is staked on career and relationships and external stuff. And our identity is not cultivated from within. And so women's circles, as I express them, are a place for women to really reconnect, to reconnect with themselves, to reconnect with one another. And then from that place, do whatever, right? Like, what is the thing that your person is craving? And let's figure out how to go do that. But without that guidance, we are chasing external suggestions. Oh, you should do this. You should be this. You should da 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 da. And we're like, oh, okay, that sounds fine.
Oh yeah, you're so speaking to me with this as well, because that's like what I felt around the time that I started my coaching business, because for so long, I'd been like, I mean, like, very, very long story short, I'd been very much like trying to like always please everyone else's expectations, and to the point where I even felt like they were my own expectations, you know?
They were your expectations.
Yeah,
right?
They, like, of course.
We adapt them, we eat them, we integrate them into our cellular structure.
Yeah, exactly. And we're just like, yep, this is it. And then I remember I had this like breakthrough moment, and it was, I was very, very much like around the same time that I launched my coaching business, like a lot of things were happening for me. Like my intuitive gifts were like very much opening up, and I was working with a clairvoyant coach at the time. And I was learning to honor masculine and feminine energy, and I learned about human design and like all of these things at the same time. And
you cracked that right open. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. And then in the midst of it, I'm like, I think I'm going to start a coaching business. And, but it was like so crazy, because I remember like being in a meditation and like being so like deeply connected to this thing. And I woke up out of it, and I almost had like, I don't know, it was just like this fire inside of me. And I was like, that's fucking it. I am never going to do something based on what other people want from me again. Like, I'm going to start a business, and it's going to be 100% mine. It's going to be everything that I want it to be. And I'm going to build it how I want to build it. And it's just so funny, because when I look back now, that's like, you know, it's part of what I teach now, is that you get to do it your way. You get to have fun. You get to like enjoy the process as well as the you know, the fulfillment and fruition and success that comes along with that. And yeah, it's just like, I'm just so resonating with that. And I say a lot as well, like back then, like if you would have asked me my favorite color, I wouldn't have been able to tell you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I hear this all the time. They're like, I don't know what food I like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know everybody else's thing, but what does it matter what I like? And I'm like, well, it actually matters. Coming back to what you said, like success, right? We want this outcome. Mm-hmm. But if the direction we're taking and the advice that we're following is someone else's, then we're going to arrive at someone else's definition of success. Yeah. And when we get there, when we accomplish everything that we've been working for, it falls flat. And we're like, man, okay, is this all?
Yeah. Like, I've kind of taken better. I've taken success in like a completely different definition. And sometimes I'm like cautious of using that one as well, just because of, you know, it's a very common word to be used when we're talking about like what we're pursuing. And I interlink it with fulfillment a lot, but to me, it's like the way that I see it these days is like, it's almost hard to put into words. And again, this is my definition. I mean, everyone's going to have their own kind of like whatever feels juicy for them, but it's kind of like this sensation, this feeling, this like knowing that it's like success in itself is not a destination. Like you can't get there. But it's like when you reflect on your life, like when you look back at your life, when you feel how you lived your day, when you think about the interactions that you've had, it's like, it's the moments, you know, it's the moments that stand out to you. It's the, it's the meaning. It's the things that like, just bring that joy to your soul. It's, you know, and it's even the hard times though, it's like all of it. It's like, who were you in the face of it? And how did you grow? And what did it mean? And like all those things, it's like the meaning that we have in every single day. And that's why I think for me, like a big part of what I talk about is like, it's fun along the way as well. And that's like part of, I think, what makes us feel so successful, because when I was chasing like an income level or a rank or whatever it was that I was chasing, it never ever felt right when I hit it. Right. It was just like, oh,
sure.
Okay.
No, 'cause it's cool. External.
Yeah.
It's perceptual and external. And then you're like, yeah, I got it. But I didn't actually feel good at any stage of the process, and I don't feel good now.
And it's so crazy as well, though, because like I was so like caught up in it that I was just like, "This feels good, right? Like, it totally feels good." But then it was just like, it was like always like seeking kind of feeling. And then I talk about like where a lot of things started to shift for me is like I remember one of the times that I just felt the most like successful and abundant and happy was at the time when I literally had nothing in my external circumstance to validate me anymore. Like nothing really left. I still had amazing things in my life, but a lot of the things that I placed value on in my life that I thought would make me feel successful were gone. And I was like, oh shit. And then, but at the same time, because I was, you know, really forced into doing the inner work, it was like, I actually felt it for the first time. And then that's when my mindset really started to shift around it. This is bringing me back to like a question that I had when you were talking before about the woman's circle. So
of course,
like, cause I was going to ask like, what do you really feel the benefit is of being around other women? And then you kind of expanded on that a little bit in saying, you know, like how it's the opportunity to like really connect with yourself and these other women who are also on a similar journey. But I would love for you to talk if like you have anything to say around, like, do you find that there's like an expansiveness that happens when you are connected with other women versus like doing it on your own or like in a different space? Like, do you have anything to say on that?
Absolutely. I probably have something to say about everything.
Okay, cool.
given the chance. I think there's always a time and a place for each kind of work and exploration. And I go through cycles and phases where I'm like, I'd rather do this internally for a little while and like chew on this. But there's some in circle when I show up and other women around me are showing up in the fullest expression of themselves in that moment. It's not always pretty. It doesn't have to be anything in particular. It just is. There's some sort of, I feel like amplification is the word. So expansive was the word you chose, but it just, and synchronicity is, I have had my heart and mind blown so many times. Last year I was holding two different circles simultaneously. And so two different groups were happening. And these were women who never interacted with each other, didn't know each other. And the things that came up, the emotions, the struggles, the experiences that were happening for women in these two circles, week after week after week, were the same.
Wow.
And Right? What?
I'm like wowing, but I'm also like, duh, because this is totally like the vibe thing. Like, this is like right. what I think yes. about as well.
Obviously.
Like, and it's, I mean, it's not coined a woman's circle. It's a mastermind that I'm a part of with other women, mm-hmm. but it's just yep. like so nuts. Like, I'll be like kind of like internally going through something, and then someone will right. bring up something in the group, and I'm like, and it's exactly what I'm thinking. And like five, yeah. six other women are like, this is exactly what I
yeah, me too. So yeah. this is, and this is it. Like, even in a single circle where there aren't other circles happening, when women come together and they share something, and it's usually, you know, something that they've been struggling with and aren't exuberant about, and you know, something, maybe there's just some shame or some guilt or some struggle around, somebody will share something and somebody else will say, me too. And all of a sudden, the woman who shared has a new perspective, and every yeah. woman in the group is like, that's right, I'm not the only one. I really yeah. thought that I was the only one, which made this experience so much harder. I'm not the only one. I hear it in this group of women who have sit here with me. But then I, as this woman who was holding circle, got yeah. to see it everywhere. And mm. I was like, what if everyone on the planet, or like every woman who's tuning into herself, is going through the exact same shit at exactly the same time?
Yeah.
And we're like communally digesting something globally, psychically, I don't know
yeah.
how, what the words are, but for me, that a lot of the work that I love doing and that works for me personally and for my clients is rethinking our mindset of like your own experience mm-hmm. and reframing the whole thing. Like, it's not just you. What if you're, you know, doing your small part of this massive thing that's happening for everybody? Mm-hmm. And by you sorting through your own junk, you're like helping this global thing. And so synchronicities are showing up when women tune into themselves, mm-hmm. something that she says or she wants, quote unquote, will all of a sudden appear. Mm-hmm. It's because we are looking, like we're looking at things differently that we see them. They're probably mm-hmm. there before, mm-hmm. but we've clicked in. And going back to what you expressed about everyone's definition of success is different. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that, because it is a word that gets, you know, spilled around so often. And
yeah.
it's easy to fall into the trap of, oh, well, this is what the TV tells me that success looks like. And if I want to be successful, then I have to want that.
Oh, exactly. It's
like, and I love the circle space and because it allows, it like nudges a possibility for any woman to be like, yeah, actually I have no desire in any of those things that I had associated with success. And so looking at creating alignment, but really mm-hmm. you can't create alignment until you have started looking at like, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that whole process has been a practice over and over of just getting out of my own way.
Mm-hmm.
With my judgments and my beliefs about how things were supposed to be or what is possible. Even last month, I had this sort of bloom. No, that's not a word. I was just like, wait a minute. I've literally been operating with a belief that is inaccurate. It's not true. It was never true, but I've been making it true by operating as if it were true.
Mm-hmm.
And what if I don't want that to be true? I could operate completely differently. And all of, again, quote unquote, all of a sudden, it is no longer true. So for me, alignment is seeing what is possible, what makes me have that sensation, that feeling of like, yes, this,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I think you're calling that success. It's like fun along the way. It's process. That the whole thing is along the way. There is no destination. There is
yeah.
no click, check the box, I am successful.
Mm-hmm.
Or there is like, yes, in this moment I was successful because I was present and because I was authentic and because I mm-hmm. asked for what I needed and I didn't take shit from anybody or mm-hmm. whatever the thing is. Like, I smiled at a stranger. I check success, mm-hmm. whatever that moment looks like and feels like.
I love it. It's such a powerful reframe. And I love what you said about like how it's like what we make true in the moment, because this has been probably one of the biggest mind trips for me ever. Because although we hear it in theory, you know, like, oh, just like believe something different or whatever. It's like, it's so crazy when you realize the power that we do hold in creating our own reality. And I think it's like mm-hmm. both like the most powerful and incredible thing, and also the most terrifying thing in a way.
Simultaneously.
And then it's also then, it's then also being able to have compassion with yourself, because it's like, you know, my husband and I, we're joking around because I've had quite severe morning sickness throughout my entire pregnancy. And, you know, and we sometimes joke around and I'm like feeling nauseous and he's just like, just stop. He's like, just
it's
decide
all in your head.
Not.
Right.
He's like, just decide you're not nauseous. And like, I mean, there'd be a point when if he said that to me, I'd probably get annoyed, like depending on my mood. But
yeah.
But at the same time, it's just like so funny because I'm like, just the other day when he said it, and I know he always means it in a lighthearted way, but it's probably possible, you know? And I say to him, I'm like, I absolutely do believe in the power of the mind. I believe that I could, you know, that there is something within my energy field, within my mind, that I could shift and not experience this anymore. But I said, but I just don't feel strong enough to do that. And it was kind of just, or I was like, I can't remember exactly the words I used, but I was like, I just don't feel like I'm at a space where I'm willing to like exercise that power.
Yeah.
Because, and it was just like, just humorous and just like lighthearted, but it is so funny because we really, like, I do believe we have the power to create anything. And then you hear these stories about like the Iceman, you know, who's like climbing Mount Everest in a t-shirt, and people submerging themselves in like frozen lakes for 20 minutes. And you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, like
we are far more potent and capable than we're comfortable believing.
And I think especially like one of the things that like really trips us up is like the fact that we have so much more power over our physical body than we think. And I think that's like, sometimes that's hard because it feels so real, you know, it's like, but it's physical, it hurts, it's cold, it's this, it's that.
Well, and this goes back to all of that external stuff, because it makes sense that we've grown up like looking at the world. And we see the physical stuff and we're like, it's tangible, so it's real.
Yeah.
But all the internal stuff, the metaphysical stuff, it's not measurable. And how do I know? And there's everything in our culture just validates the visual, tangible stuff and has been invalidating the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, a shift in mindset and changing your beliefs, that could go either way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit geeky about neuroscience, although I'm not technically scientific. I like the vibe of it. I love the vibe of neuroscience. So beliefs live in your subconscious mind, which is why it's really hard to just change a belief, right?
Yeah.
Our beliefs were established before we were two, and then the brain did some massive reset and sort of put a firewall, so to speak. Are accessible, you can do it, but not with the conscious mind the way that we're used to, like changing a thought, for example. But we can, and this is where the metaphysical and the physical come together, by changing our thoughts, we are physiologically actually changing the structures of our brain. Like every thought we're connecting to synapses and sort of making a little highway. And every time you have the same thought, you're, you know, paving the highway and widening the road and making it easier for that same thought to happen, whether that thought serves you or not. And so it is possible with our conscious mind to change our physiological brain, which then can change all the other stuff. And for me, again, that's just like, my mentor says something, what does she say? The whole like mind over matter, that matter, like consciousness emerges from matter. Like we are aware because we have the brain is sort of centuries of belief are built on spirit exists because body exists, or like that kind of approach to the world. And she's like, no, matter emerges from consciousness, which is like,
well, it's like in quantum physics when like,
yes,
become, they're there because they're observed, or like,
right,
you know,
right. And oh, my brain is here because my consciousness is having thoughts.
Yeah.
It feels so mind warping to think of things that way.
Yeah.
But the more that you look at it, my mentor is a scientist, a little bit ironically, since I'm really not wildly scientific. But she's a scientist and she's working in these fields of emerging science where mystics who are, you know, spiritual gurus on the far end of one spectrum and scientists, quantum physicists and quantum mechanics folks, they're not actually on opposite sides of the spectrum. They are like, you can't see my hands, but instead of on a line, it's like a circle where the two ends are one step away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is no difference between the mystics and quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
The words that they use to describe.
Well, it's like the universe. The more research there's done in the science field, the closer we're actually seeing it come together.
Right.
You know,
scientists are proving spirituality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's so cool too. And I know for myself as well, like, I'm definitely, I don't even know how to describe myself. Like I'm just like a believer, in many things, but I also like to like challenge and I'm very curious, you know, so I like to know things in different ways. And I started off my kind of like career life with a Bachelor of Science, funny enough as well. so, you know, and very much as I would like as a very young or late teenager, I was very much influenced by the conditioning around like, oh, now that you're a scientist, you know, you've got to be skeptical.
Right.
And so, I mean, I took a little bit of that with me, but, and my husband as well, who is incredibly brilliant and very, very, he's not skeptical, that's not the right word, but he like always likes to really like understand things, and he has like this like super like conscious part of himself and then this super like logical part of himself as well, and they kind of have a dance. And I remember when we were first like discussing things, and I'm not the details person, he's the details person. I'm the one with the science degree, but they like discovered some sort of particle that was like, I think they were like nicknaming it the God particle or something. And it was like,
yes.
Yeah. And it was like, I can't even remember the exact details, but it was something along the lines of that they basically found a particle that lives like outside of our body, but like, I don't know. It basically was like confirming a soul things like that. And we're just like, oh my God, this is so cool. And I love it when that stuff happens because it's such a fun way to see it. And the same thing you were just describing about like the neurons in the brain, like building highways. Funny enough, like for anyone who's listening, who's worked with me in one of my programs, you'll have heard me use that analogy because I use it all the time because it is just like such a perfect analogy. But it's like, it makes sense. That's like literal science, you know, that's going on in your, like of what's going on in the brain. But then at the same time, it's also energetically like what we're, the frequencies and vibrations that we're tuning into. It's kind of like the frequency that we're choosing to align ourselves with so we can call in this and that. Like it makes sense on both levels. And I just love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, because right, matter is energy,
yeah.
Right? The table that's right in front of me looks and feels solid, but it's not. All the molecules are just moving at a certain frequency. I can't tell you what it is, but like I know that's energy, and music is energy, and my, you know, like energy are my thoughts are my energy. It's all about energy.
Yeah. And there's stuff you can see, like the table, and then there's stuff you can't see, like the Wi-Fi, but it's still very, very definitely here.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love that because that's such a great sort of segue or introduction to people of who only can think about the physical, the tangible, and like, well, just because it's not, you are observing it. You just like need, we can shift our, where we're choosing to put our attention to start seeing things in a whole new way, which really then, like I said earlier, when you like start thinking differently, things start appearing differently. Like you said, attuning to different frequencies. And, you know, if I believe the table is solid, then it's going to be solid in my observation of it. And if I believe, you know, I can only work with so many clients, that's also like, I am, I'm making that as solid as the table in front of me.
Yes, exactly. I love it. But yeah, so that's like exactly what I was sharing with before, with like what we decide to be true. And I know Abraham Hicks talks about this as well. It's just like, you're like, oh, no one's signing up to my program. And it's like, okay, do you want that to be true? Well, no.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then what would you rather be true? People are going to sign up, you know, people are signing up to my program. Okay, great. Yeah. Go all in on that thought instead, you know, believe that.
Right. I have a waiting list instead. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody in a call asked me recently, like, what would you be doing differently when you achieved the thing that you wanted to achieve? Right. That's a cool question.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a great question, because as soon as I was asked, I was like, oh, well, I'm going to start doing that right now. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to go be that person right now and not wait for the, when something comes to me, then I will show up differently.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just going to show up differently. Mm-hmm. And honestly, as soon as I did that, I just felt better. It didn't even need the external, like the thing to come to me that I was waiting for. I was just like, oh, well, again, like what's the definition of success? Mm-hmm. I feel different regardless of what's happening outside of me, because mm-hmm. I just changed how I was showing up for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like, honestly, I think such a profound thing that if we all really integrated this, we would see, we would experience our journey in such a different way. Because I remember when I first launched my coaching business, and I think part of it was probably ego, because I felt like I'd already been an entrepreneur for 5 years. I didn't feel like I should be starting at the beginning, you know, but I was very much at the beginning, because I'd never one had my very own business that I was creating services for. I'd one never been a coach. You know, and even though I'd had like similar coaching style experiences, I'd never labeled myself that way or created services around it, never hosted programs. And so it was like, it was all completely new. But part of me was just like, you know how I said before, I had that like fire, and I was like, I'm doing it, and it's going to be my way, and I'm going to love it, and it's going to be awesome. And and it was just like that energy of just like, I'm here, this is what I'm doing, and I'm excited about it, and I deserve to be here kind of energy. And that energy, I think, is part of what magnetized the first clients to me. And as soon as the clients started coming in, it was just like, it was proving what I was saying about myself, rather than like that, like making me feel that I was like worthy of being there. You know, it was like, I didn't need the clients to be like, see, I can be a coach. It was more just like, no, I am a coach, so of course I have these clients, you know?
Exactly. And
yeah,
I love that you use the word magnetized, because as you were describing that energy, I was like, yeah, that's the energy people want to be around. That is a magnetizing energy. People want to be with people who are on fire and like mm-hmm. totally in themselves and confident of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And you are that thing mm-hmm. with or without the external validation.
Yes.
The validation's great.
That's like,
but it doesn't determine what you are.
Oh, that's what's so crazy, is like when we have a desire for something, it's not, we cannot have a desire for something that we are not capable of being or that we already are. You know what I mean? It's like that whole thing of like, it's all within you already. And it's so true. Yeah. It's just, we need to tap into it. And it's like, one, are we tapping into the version of ourselves that feels like, oh, who are we to give anything to the world? Like, who are we to do this? Who are we like, but that person is better than me. Like,
and that's, if you're tapped into energy, that, you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
You're always right. Sorry.
Exactly. But that's the thing, is like, if you have this desire to be this next level version, you can also choose to show up as that version of yourself. Yeah. And then the world organizes itself based on that.
Isn't that convenient? I love it.
I know.
It is terrifying. You mentioned this earlier. There's like such a little bit of panic and fear of like actually what it means to like become that person, but also the responsibility to become that person.
Yeah.
I'm releasing my first book next month, mm-hmm. which is this experience for me, right? Mm-hmm. I've been writing for years, but I'm now doing the next level thing. Mm-hmm. And in the book, I talk of, it's about how change really happens versus mm-hmm. our perception of how change happens. And so that's quite an alignment with some of the topics we've been covering. Mm-hmm. And I get into, you know, the metaphor of the caterpillar turning into the butterfly and how great, and coaches mm-hmm. will transform you into this magical creature from this fat, earthbound, hairy little thing. Mm-hmm. And I think the metaphor sets people up with false expectations. Mm-hmm. Because like, oh, well, I'm just going to go into this cocoon for a couple of weeks. I'm sure there's a couch and Netflix. It's going to be fine. We're just going to hang out there. And then I'm going to emerge this totally different, amazing being.
Yeah.
And what actually happens for a caterpillar in the cocoon,
it's terrifying.
It feels, you know, the other word for cocoon is like poopa. And yeah. That's what it feels like, right? Like it feels like poopa.
Yeah.
It's dark. You're all alone. And you start to dissolve and turn into goo. Mm-hmm. And then the cells of the caterpillar actually have this immune response. They're like, no, 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 no. And so there's like internal battle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've definitely felt this in forms of transformation. Mm-hmm. And then the caterpillar, well, there's cells that had been within the caterpillar, again, called imaginal cells. Mm. Come on. What? Imagination cells called imaginal cells. Right. What could you possibly, and this, like, I love it. Science is cool.
So cool.
And then those imaginal cells that had been dormant in the caterpillar are the things that sort of triumph and create this butterfly. And then there's the butterfly, right? Inside the chrysalis, just about to emerge. But then it has to really, really struggle to get out of this old shell. It has to push. It has to squeeze. It's like a rebirth process. And if you've ever watched a butterfly come out of a chrysalis, it's amazing.
Oh yeah. We had like one of those plants that they like lay their eggs on. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. But people, humans, sometimes see like, oh, well, it looks like the butterfly's struggling. I'm going to help. I'm going to open up the chrysalis for the butterfly. The butterfly doesn't need your help.
No.
The butterfly needs to struggle. Which is actually true for all of us. Like we need to be able to do it on our own mm-hmm. because if you open up this for the butterfly, the pressure, the struggle is actually moving a liquid from one part of the butterfly out into the wings that right. will then harden and make it fly. And so if you help, it will never fly.
Wow.
And so mm-hmm. the metaphors that happen, like it is accurate. Transformation is so much like what happens for a caterpillar but we don't know, like most yep. adult humans are like, oh, I'm sure it's just like being on vacation. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely not.
No.
And I think if we had a better perception of what transformation really involved, mm-hmm. then when we got into it, we could stick with it a little bit longer. Be like, oh yeah, I'm dissolving. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm totally alone. And I feel like I've lost my identity and I don't know which way is up. Good, mm-hmm. right where I belong, rather than panic of like, I'm doing something wrong or.
Yeah, and this is actually what I was just gonna say is like, part of I think what's so terrifying about it is because like, we can't forget that we're still human and our transformation is still like physical to some extent, like we feel it in our body. And sometimes it feels like when we know that we shouldn't experience particular things. You know, sometimes we have that expectation on ourselves. It's like, well, I know that I can change my vibration anytime. So I shouldn't be feeling sad right now, or I shouldn't be feeling fear right now. And one of the most like, this is it was probably like I don't know, it was the next level for me for sure with this experience. But it was like when I finally was like, what if I'm also meant to feel sad right now? Or what if me angry right now is the most aligned thing I could be? You know?
The thing, I think here's another really false perception that gets in the way of growth and transformation, is that we think that it's all supposed to be positive.
Yeah.
And it's not. I think the full spectrum of human emotion and experience is necessary. Pain and discomfort are the most nutritive, like, guidance and information. When you get uncomfortable or you're like, I'm in this wrong career, that's really important. Don't try to like figure out how to like sugarcoat that discomfort. Mm-hmm. One of the concepts that I've evolved a little bit with working with clients is something I call, well, let me back up. You said earlier that you had a breakthrough and it was great. And we all want the breakthrough, mm-hmm. right? We want that, aha, I figured it out, moving forward, everything's like coming together. But I think, I don't know a single person who's had a breakthrough without also having a whole lot of shit struggle immediately before that.
Oh yeah, I'm talking like
the breakdown. Right, yeah, right. And it, like, it doesn't have to be the, you know, existential crisis breakdown, but it's like, oh, this is not working. Some variety of discomfort. And so instead of talking about breakdowns and breakthroughs, I call it a breakdown through.
A breakdown through, I love it.
To see that it is one process.
Yeah.
And shifting our relationship with the breakdown, like, oh, I shouldn't be breaking down. I shouldn't be mm-hmm. uncomfortable. I shouldn't feel these things. To saying, fantastic. I'm uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I am going into this really uncomfortable phase, which mm-hmm. means I'm getting ready to grow and expand. Mm-hmm. And instead of, I mean, I think we're genetically programmed to back away from discomfort and the unknown. Mm-hmm. But if we can plant a little seed in everyone's mind that discomfort is absolutely an essential step mm-hmm. for whatever's coming next. And you can either go further into it and sort of speed up your evolution towards whatever the next thing is, or you can resist it and slow down that discomfort process and just mm-hmm. like stay in the muck even longer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think it just like, it always feels worse when you're in it. Like when you're through it, you're like,
of course,
that was fine. You know, like even like I
selective
remember.
Selective memory, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, I remember for, you know, and I mean, I can't say I was struggling for 5 years fully in every capacity of my life, but there was a lot of things that were not working, you know? I remember at the time just like wanting things to happen so fast. But when I look back mm-hmm. now, it feels like it happened fast, you know? And
yeah.
And I think
perception.
That, yeah. Yeah. It is totally a perception thing. And I'm glad I went through that stuff. Like if someone were to say to me, would I have rather for 10 years been mediocre and then like slowly build my way up to being where I want to be? Or would I rather have like a quick incubation period of like complete shit show for a bit and then like complete breakthrough? I would be like, that one, please. Get either quicker, you know, like.
And to get quicker, you have to get dirtier.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, yeah. Let's do this. I saw an image the other day that I really appreciated, because so many of the metaphors that I use and the way I relate to the world is like by looking at plants. Mm-hmm. And so it was an image of a seed, and it was like, you feel like you've been buried, but really you've been planted.
Yeah.
But that only works if when you're buried, you decide to like sprout, right?
Yeah.
You have to reach out into this darkness. But if you've decided that you're buried mm-hmm. and you're behaving like you're dead, then you're not going to grow. Like that just, mm-hmm.
I think this is like exactly a thought that came to mind before, is like when we were talking about like the breakthrough, I think like what's so important to highlight as well is that it didn't necessarily feel like a breakthrough at the time. Like when I look back now, I know that was a pivotal shift in what created, you know, the where I am now, which is a completely different place in my life. But I didn't know that at the time. You know, I just woke up and I was like, what if I just do things for myself? You know, what if I just really, you know, have this energy? And I had that fire in that moment because I was inspired by what came through for me in a meditation. But how many times have we been inspired to not do anything? And then that inspiration kind of trickles away and then we're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know? And so it's like that seed that has to decide to like, that it's a seed to that's planted versus something that's been buried. It's the exact same thing. It's like when we receive guidance, when we feel that fuel in our soul, it's also like, it's up to us to choose to follow through on that as well.
Right. And that's where the responsibility comes, right? Now you've been planted. Now, what are you going to do with it? I love that you used the word inspired. Because words are one of the things that I latch onto and I tear apart and I make up words now too, but the root of inspired is in spirit. And so that like in terms of like really being aligned and connected with yourself, when you are inspired, it's because you are in your spirit.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I love it. That's so cool. Oh my gosh, this conversation has been so cool. It's like I feel like the biggest nerds and like spirit junkies ever right now.
Yay, nerds.
Yeah. I love it. It's so good. And I'm absolutely sure the audience would have taken so much away from this as well. And for those of you listening, thank you so much as well for being here. I am absolutely like dying to hear what you thought of this episode and like what highlights you've taken away from what both Sierra and I have shared. So please, please, please get in touch. Where can people find you to get in touch with you? I know the things are in the show notes, but what are kind of like the favorite things that you want to share?
Yeah. So I am pretty present on Facebook, Sierra Melker or Integral Women Mentoring. I also exist on Instagram, but it isn't my like zone of genius at this moment. Integral Women Mentoring. And I love emails and I love voice contact. So if somebody wants to drop me a voice note in Facebook Messenger, it's my favorite way to hear from people and know people. Because it's the human connection. It's really being present with one another. And I answer email and I answer my phone when it rings, which is such a 20th century experience, but it still has the capacity to do that.
Wait, what? What? The phone call? What's that?
I know. How do you do that? You call people you don't know without giving them a heads up ahead of time?
Yeah. It's like it's just so funny because obviously like I have my coaching calls and I have this and I have that, but then I need to call the bank and I like need to like psych myself up for it. I'm like, oh,
you can do this. You can do this.
and then my phone rings and I like look at it. I'm just like, oh my God, why is my phone ringing? What's this?
Yeah, we have shifted.
Oh dear.
And then anyway, I still answer my phone.
Oh yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other side tangent. Anyway, yeah. Okay. So we have all of these beautiful ways to get in touch with you. Facebook seems like if you're looking for an online connection would be a really good place to connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's going to be more details and all the links in the show notes for those of you listening. Thank you. Thank you so much for spending your hour with us, Sierra.
No, absolutely. My pleasure. It was great way to start my day. So thank you so much for inviting me and offering your space to me to share.
Absolutely. And to those of you listening, thank you so much. And I'll catch you on the next episode.